And now, in the wake of the government's response in the last couple of weeks to ongoing drought in parts of Australia, we have the little-known story of a group of suits from the top end of town who've decided to do what they can for the communities that they know and care about in farming areas. The organisation is called Peter's Care, and it aims to bring the specialist skills of senior bankers and lawyers to the mediating table between farm families in financial trouble and their banks. The idea is to buy time to prevent farms being sold off in the hope that better and more sustainable solutions can be worked through. Simon McCann from the investment banking firm McCann Brothers in Sydney is the CEO and patron of Peter's Care. Simon, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Geraldine, for having me in.
How did Peter's Care come about? And I have to ask you, what's the significance of the name?
Oh, look, Peter's Care, Peter's actually my father's name. Peter's Care came about probably, I think, about a year before the GFC. We were running around town talking to other bankers and corporations, forewarning of either a massive depression or a double recession coming over the years. And in the background, a lot of us are actually come from regional and rural areas. A lot of us started to panic because we realised, knowing the background of what happens through banks and then the knock-on effect to farmers, we realised that there was going to be some disasters occurring. So I guess we just really let some of our friends know, from Gilgandra, Dubbo, Parks, Forbes, right down to Albury. And that's where I guess my background is, from Gilgandra down to about Albury, that we were sort of there if somebody needed some assistance. And it was almost like a tsunami. So during the day, you're trying to work, and then you're also at nighttime receiving calls from farmers who are absolute in distress.
So they started ringing you pretty fast, did
they? Word of mouth, I think. You know, phone Simon, he'll be able to help you out and maybe get some banking experience. Now, that started for about 6 or 8 months, and when the GFC hit and then the repercussions started, on top of droughts and the normal farming problems, I was on the telephone, you know, probably 6 in the evening till midnight with farmers who were in distress. The problem with all of this, I didn't have any conduit. It was just phone Simon, and I'd had 2 or 3 others around Wagga and Gilgandra helping as well, who were either lawyers or banking, but with a solid farming background. So we moved through that sort of GFC period, and I guess what came about was a position where if you're in distress, and I mean real financial distress, phone. I was getting telephone calls from farmers who were in a disastrous position. They were thinking about self-harm issues.
Were they?
And I was really unprepared for that.
I'll bet you were.
Did you
have to refer any of them on? I mean, were you sufficiently concerned?
Yeah, look, my mother has run Lifeline for about 30 years in central New South Wales, so I had a good conduit of contacts and groups to send off. My experience is not in helping people with those sort of issues. I'm able to talk to farmers about farm operations, cash flows, planning,
interest rates,
future interest rates, that sort of thing. What I would naturally jump to is we would talk about their farm, we would talk about things that they might need to do to change, and then I'd talk about, tomorrow I'm just going to contact the bank and I'll get them off your back.
Look, I have to, it's a dreadful question, but I hope nobody did take their life. I mean, did they? Or harm themselves?
Yeah.
You don't want to say.
I've probably helped, I think, over the last 4 years, probably, I think, 69 families.
Wow.
And which is not a huge amount, but it's one-on-one. And I've probably lost, I think, 8. So, you know, that's something where I'm probably not skilled to deal with, but it's a, you know, position where you...
Really?
Look, when you're talking to a farmer, you know, it's ups and downs during a week and you can't let go, so... You might start talking to that person today, and then 3 or 4 months you're still talking to them on every second day or every third day, and you're sort of guiding them through, and you've got the banks off. Banks are so cooperative, they're really willing to help. You're talking about cash flows, you're getting help around, you're generating cluster farming, their equipment could have been broken down, so you're striking a deal with one of the harvesters. So you're doing really practical things, so it's very hands-on. But during that time, things could change or become even worse during a drought. And you'll make a telephone call and say, look, I haven't heard for a few days, and you'll get a call from the wife just saying, look, things have changed. So in that case, what I then do is I then contact other friends and I say we've had a critical change. So then my job is then to get other farmers to rally around, and I'll contact my mother or other friends, it depends on the area, and they'll make sure almost as if there's no parents. So if there's children, the kids are dressed and washed and they've got school lunches, there's money in their pocket, the banks are contacted.
Can I just look, I mean, it's just a fantastic story. What intrigues me is the volunteers that you have. Now, you say they must be specialist lawyers or bankers. Why so?
Look, you've got to have come from, you've got to have a farming knowledge, because otherwise farmers won't open up to you. So you can't, they won't open up to somebody who doesn't really understand what they're going through. So you can say, look, I know what you're going through. These are the changes it will make. Just hang on. And so you sort of talk them through day by day, and then they get this hope. But you understand where they're coming from, but you can then describe how you're going to change the position going forward, if possible.
So they're acutely aware, in a way, of not having, dare I say, a social work approach. They want to, they're quite specific.
Very specific. You need to be able to understand what the problem is. It could be, they could be dairy farmers, they could be cattle and sheep, livestock, they could be harvesting.
And all of you who volunteer have come from some sort of rural background.
Some sort of rural background. Now, going forward, you've also got to have some sort of capability of describing what the problem is and how you'll fix it. So if you come from a banking background and you've got relationships in town, then you can really, you can pick up the phone at a senior level and you can just describe the situation. They get it immediately, and then they'll move the chain of command downwards. And the banks do that very quickly. They're very good.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because people will be really surprised, you know, hearing this.
No, not with farmers and not with people in distress. Banks are very, very good. And I found them extremely cooperative. Additionally, if you put a plan forward, just a half a page plan about what's going on and what the takeout will be.
And of course, you know exactly how to express it.
You can explain with the farmer's cooperation what's going to happen. Now, if we don't have that option, if the farmer is then gone or if something changes critically, then what we do is we have a small fund that's been created a few years ago, and that fund would...
Like a benevolent fund.
Yeah, the fund would take out the farm, almost like a protection for the family, and then the payback would be expected in 5 or 10 or 15 years. So it's sort of medium to long-term planning, which...
So you sort of buy the farm, effectively. You would remove the debt so that they've...
If we can take the farm out and then get cooperation with the farmers surrounding
for
that...
For a payback, I see.
Then it works.
Regime. Now, I've got to ask you, some of these farms must be unviable.
Some of them are, and you've really got to have... You've really got to change your approach, and this has to be done in Australia anyway. The medium to long-term change has to be immediate. We need to reintroduce cooperatives, almost so regions. So you might have, New South Wales, you'll have 5 or 6 regions, so you'll have 5 or 6 cooperatives. And that reports up into a board, and that cooperative actually acts as an exchange. So you can exchange harvesters, you can exchange goods and services.
Oh, Simon, this is a big plan.
Oh, no, it's in the background, but you can also provide lending capability. And we've established with the banks that you can lend funding for about 3 to 7% less than what they're currently doing. So from a capital markets perspective and from Treasury, it can work. You really just need to...
Do the farmers want that, though? I mean, that's really a reversion to...
Well, imagine if you've got a debt of, say, $1 million on your farm and the debt would be over everything. Imagine paying 7% instead of, say, 15%. Mm. So 8%,
massive.
$80,000 a year, that's a lot of food and clothing and bills. So a farmer becomes more competitive. The other thing you've got to look at is cluster farming, where farmers through a cooperative are actually working together. And if you've got livestock, then you're cluster farming around an abattoir or close to transport depots. So there's a strategy going forward rather than just helping people. It's actually changing the shape or the way we think about farming.
Could I ask you, though, maybe the best outcome for some is to get out, settle their debts and walk away. How do you advise that?
Don't. No, the farmer's got to come to their own decision. Sometimes it's inevitable. So it could be simply that they've become a farmer. They might have been working in town or in the city and they thought it'd be nice to be a farmer. And they might have some experience, but they're out of their depth. Working as a farmer alone is hard enough if you're multi-generational. The hard bit comes when you're the second or third generation farmer and you might be losing the family farm or you might be losing the fifth of 5 farms. So under your watch, you've lost 5 farms and you're about to lose another one. That's when critical things can happen. But the idea going ahead is actually to have a path going forward and whatever the takeout is. And it could actually be in year 5 that financially it's worked, but you need to get out and you need to move on. You need to enjoy life and enjoy your wife and your kids, but hand it over to a bigger group who can do it. But that may be another Australian group that has a much larger plot.
How do you keep up your day job? I mean, clearly you've become absolutely fascinated by this and it's really gripped you.
It has. It's I've been able to provide, I think, services to the community. I think it's great. My day is crazy. I've got four little kids that I adore and it's pretty hands-on.
Do they ever see you?
They do bits and pieces. And my normal work in McCann Brothers is busy enough, but the Peter's Care has taken off. So this year I've decided I'm going to try and get some sort of government funding. We're going to get probably help through corporations. These are things I would normally do for other companies anyway. It's sort of like a plumber in his plumbing. He doesn't really fix his backyard. So I think Peter's Care in 2014 needs some support.
I must finally ask you, you're only operating in one region of New South Wales, aren't you, at the moment?
Yeah.
Would you like to see others take this on? Is this part of your
Yeah, look, the rollout, message? Peter's Care would become national, but it has to be managed. The scary part is actually going on air, saying you can help and then inundated with people needing help. And that's the major drama. I mean, I've spent two New Year's Eves on a mobile phone in the backyard while people are celebrating. And so I've spent, you know, nights with farmers talking them through some serious issues. So marketing yourself is a troublesome area. But Peter's Care would become regionalised across Australia, and then Peter's Care would form into a cooperative and then provide other services. It has to be non-profit and it has to be funded by the government, and it can't be a commercial operation, otherwise there's too many conflicts.
I mean, have you spoken to government? Have you got any sort of tentative feedback?
Look, we do.
Spoken to Barnaby?
No, I've been on a number of panels and groups like Australia 21, which provide government planning and policy, and I think we're all aware of that group. They're fantastic. So I've touched different government departments over many years. This one, you've got to be a little bit more selective, because it can't be a political toy. It needs to be something which is dealt with properly.
Look, good luck to you, but make sure those kids see you as well.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Thanks indeed, Simon, for coming in and talking to us.
Pleasure, thank you.
A man on a mission, Simon McCann, the CEO and patron of Peter's Care. His day job is with the investment banking firm McCann Brothers, and you can find more details about Peter's Care on the Saturday Extra webpage. You can also find a link to Lifeline there as well. And if you need to speak to someone in relation to any of the issues raised by that interview, the number to call is 13 11 14 13 11 14.